1340, 96.5 KVGC, 830, Jackson Browne, Somebody's Baby. As promised, on the phone with us this morning is Amador County Health Officer Dr. Rita Kerr. Dr. Kerr, good morning and welcome.
Hello, Jim.
Yesterday at this time, we were reporting 89 cases. This morning, we have 110, a jump of 21.
Yeah.
That's quite a few in a 24-hour period.
Yes, it is. We receive case reports regularly via phone notification from the hospital when they get a positive test, or fax notification from some laboratories or hospitals from outside the area. But yesterday, mid-morning, received a batch of positive tests from a local outbreak. That is part of the response of managing an outbreak, is testing everyone in the facility, all the residents and all the staff, on a weekly basis to see if new cases are being transmitted from person to person. And you may recall that back at the beginning of July, I think it was on the 3rd, our press release mentioned that there was a staff member at a local skilled nursing facility who had tested positive, and that protocols were being put into place to, you know, put into one wing of the facility all the people that could have been exposed and try and keep the others that had not been exposed separate, and also other enhanced protocols for infection prevention put into place. But this virus will take any opportunity it can to be transmitted from person to person. And we first noticed an increase in the number of staff that were testing positive. I mentioned on Tuesday morning that, you know, while people are very, very careful to wear their masks and take all the precautions while they're doing their job, that sometimes when off duty, people will let their guard down if they're riding in a car together or sharing a meal together or on the break room or that sort of thing. So again, this virus will take any opportunity it can to move from person to person.
Dr. Kerr, can I ask you, just
sure.
clarify that? I'm not asking you where that facility was, but relatives of those that are in that facility, like, let's say, children or, you know, the caregiver of that person, they have been contacted of this, correct?
Yes, the facility does contact the families, and they also on their website are posting updates as well.
All right.
What I was going to mention is that yesterday's grouping of tests was the first time we had a large group of the residents that had tested positive. So they've been getting tested weekly, and each of the tests had been negative up till this time, and then the tests that were collected over the weekend, just this past weekend, Friday, Saturday, returned positive in these additional 18 residents.
Now, they are confined to that one location, correct?
Again, they are put in that one wing, and they have separated, so they have positive residents in one area, exposed residents in another area, and another area of, you know, lower risk where there hasn't been any known exposure. We have been working with the facility on a daily basis. The state healthcare-associated infections team has done a site visit, as has the state licensing agency, to coach and, make sure that best practices are being followed.
Now, Dr. Kerr, you're scheduled to go before the Amador County Unified School Board today, 2 o'clock meeting, to, I would assume, discuss the possibility of returning to in-classroom instruction and so forth. With these latest numbers, can you confidently say we could have in-classroom, or should we be shooting just for distance learning?
My role is to inform the board of what the local situation is, and to also make sure that they understand the state recommendations and framework and thresholds for returning to in-person instruction. We always have to be prepared in this situation to go to full distance learning. Even if we were to have the numbers that would allow us to resume in-person instruction, if a classroom or a school had to close, that group of children would have to be able to go to distance learning at least for a time.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday at this time, before I even got this new group of positive results in, I was concerned about the trends we were seeing in the community with increasing numbers on a daily basis. As you know, over the weekend, we had reported an additional 18 cases. That, you know, that trend of having more than three or four a day was on track to put us above that threshold indicator for case rate that would put us on the county monitoring watch list. And then when this group came in yesterday, that is a number that would put us over. So if that occurs, now we have to be on that list for several days in a row in order to officially be put on the county monitoring watch list. I'm going to be speaking with folks from the state. I'm trying to remember the name of the team, targeted engagement team from the state to talk about our countywide strategy to try and maintain containment as best we can. But if we get put on that list, the state's guidance is that our school district may not reopen for in-person instruction until we've been back off the list for 14 days.
Correct.
And with activity at a skilled nursing facility and in another congregate setting increasing, I think there's a very significant risk that we will not be able to stay below that threshold.
And we see that more inmates from a state prison in the county, which we would assume would be Mule Creek, that has increased also. And the last time we spoke, you said that those numbers would count within our numbers.
They do.
They do.
Staff of each facility counts in their county of resident,
mm-hmm.
but for the residents or the inmates, it counts against or in our county counts.
I think that's what happened in Marin County, I believe, with San Quentin, when San Quentin spiked.
Marin was also over the threshold as a county, but again, yes, their totals went up with the San Quentin.
Now, Dr. Kerr, I can hear everyone yelling at their radios, I'm sure you can too, asking the question, what does it mean? What will it mean for Amador County if we are put on the state watch list? Will we be closing down again? What does it mean?
It would close the additional sectors of businesses that are currently allowed to operate indoors would have to either be modified to operate outside or by pickup or would have to shut down. And that would include gyms and fitness centers, places of worship and cultural ceremonies, offices for non-critical infrastructure, personal care services like nail salons and body waxing,
mm-hmm.
hair salons and barber shops, and if we had them, indoor shopping malls, but I'm not aware of any indoor shopping malls in Amador. So those stores that can be entered from the outdoors directly are allowed to maintain their retail operations.
Now, Dr. Kerr, do you make the call on this, or does the state mandate that this is what will happen when this number is reached?
The state health officer will actually issue an order.
Okay.
For Amador County.
Got it. I've got some questions here from listeners. If you would you mind answering some?
I can answer a few questions.
Okay.
Sure.
We have a few. JD has a quick question here for you.
I have one here from somebody that kind of goes along with what you just said about you know, what we need to shut down and whatnot. It says, Dr. Kerr, thanks for answering our questions this morning. When you say such businesses need to shut down, are these just recommendations, or is there to be some sort of enforcement, as they tried to spell here?
It is an order from the state. It is an enforceable order.
All right. Question two. Dr. Kerr, where do the test kits come from, and what is the scientific accuracy of the COVID-19 tests? Where are they processed?
The test kits are either supplied by the lab, or when the lab can't keep up with the demand, we have a supply chain that comes from the state Medical Health Coordination Center. Mm-hmm. They are swabs and a test tube which has some liquid in it called viral transport media. And those are used to collect samples. They are labeled and matched with paperwork and sent to a lab. There are many labs that run these sort of tests. There are hospital-based labs. There are labs like Quest or LabCorp. And there are some other, university labs. There's public health labs. We use San Joaquin County when we have to do response testing.
Mm-hmm.
And there are different manufacturers that have gotten FDA authorization for their test platform. There have been a handful of them that have had lower accuracy, and at this time, none of those lower accuracy companies or platforms are being used in Amador County. For example, Sutter Amador has one of the best performing, it's the Cepheid platform for their test that can be resulted in a couple of hours. Nowhere here is using the rapid turnaround point of care tests, which are the ones that have had more inaccurate results.
Okay, Dr. Kerr, I'm going to ask you this one, and it's kind of a flippant one at the end. My sister works for a youth facility in Stockton. There was an outbreak of wards and employees. She was tested 2 weeks ago, still awaiting results. What's up?
What's up is that the labs themselves that are processing the tests and producing results are running low on equipment. Some of the disposable plastic things, they're called pipettes, that they use to transfer the material from the test tube into the chamber of the machine that runs the test. And they're running low on some of the chemicals that are needed to process the test. So the labs are backlogged just because of the incredibly high volume of tests and demand for tests. So that is the bottleneck in the testing supply chain at this point.
We're talking with Amador County Health Officer Dr. Rita Kerr. Questions from our listeners this morning. Dr. Kerr, here's one for you. To whom do we report businesses that are not following protocol? And by anonymous, does that also mean there is no caller ID on the county phones?
They can be emailed to publichealth@amador.gov.org. There is caller ID on the county phones, but we do not share the names of the complainants with any business that is reported as being non-compliant, just like we don't share the names of individuals who were contact tracing.
Are you asking for people to call in and report folks who are not following protocol?
That is helpful information, so they certainly are welcome to do that. They're also always have the right to ask to talk with the management and see if they can get it resolved in the moment.
Okay. Go ahead, Judy.
I don't know if this works on all phones, but I believe it's *67 blocks your number from a caller ID. On most phones. So it says here, according to the Google, it works both on mobile and landline. So if you're that concerned about your name on a caller ID, dial *67 before you dial the number.
And that will block your number from
being seen. The person's caller ID will not see your number, so if that's such a big concern.
All right, Dr. Kerr, another question. If we are urged not to travel out of the area, should we not also discourage travelers coming into our area?
I would say that's a fair statement, yes. And all people are under the admonishment not to be taking unnecessary trips or doing unnecessary travel at this point.
Okay. Another question here.
I got one, too.
Okay, go ahead, Judy.
This one came to me actually in a text message from somebody here, and it just kind of goes along with what you just said. The person asked, is there any, and I don't even know if this would be a question for Dr. Kerr, maybe even the sheriff department or who, but they said, does anyone check businesses to make sure they are complying and making people wear masks?
Environmental Health does, don't they, Dr. Kerr?
Environmental Health responds on a complaint basis. Yeah. We at this point don't have a team or a group of people who have been assigned to do spot checks. I am aware that there are some state agencies like the Board of Barbering and Cosmetology that have gone out and done spot checks, even here in Amador County on occasion.
I think Sylvia and Scott went to a number of restaurants yesterday, I heard, checking on masks and so forth. Here's another one for you, Dr. Kerr. Of the positive cases, has anyone reported they have followed all the precautions and still contracted the virus?
Most people say they've been trying to be very, very careful. However, they let their guard down at some point or another. And that's really the opportunity that the virus will take to, again, be transmitted from person to person.
Dr. Kerr, JD and I keep going back to what you told us at the very start of this, that it takes exposure of up to 15 minutes for this to actually happen. Have we moved off that now a bit?
That is still the definition of a close contact, is 15 minutes within 6 feet of a known case. That is the threshold we use to decide who needs to be notified and actually put on quarantine. That is not to say that transmission could not possibly happen in less time than that.
Sure.
It is what we use as the standard to actually take action.
Now, did you not tell us that if now we were in the same area and I was sneezing, or like the aerosols you talked about, that may lessen that time?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's why face coverings are so important, because that is source control from the person who sneezes it out, and then the person who is wearing one that may be in the same room would inhale fewer of those droplets, because the mask would protect the wearer from inhaling. You know, they may inhale a few, but less than they would if they weren't wearing a face covering.
You know what I've been saying, Dr. Kerr, I talked to Jim off the air about, you know, my feelings, is I say, it's funny to me, the people who complain about wearing the masks the most are the same people that complain the most when things get shut down. So if you want to keep businesses open, you want to keep us economically strong and thriving, look at it as an insurance policy, folks. Wear the mask, and then things won't have to shut down. We can, you know, get things taken care of that much quicker. But it's just funny to me, the same people who refuse to wear the mask are the same people who are so up in arms when things have to get shut down.
I think that's the focus of the Chamber of Commerce's campaign for, you know, keep Amador healthy, you know, wear the face covering, do the social distancing, follow the recommendations. And exactly, JD, that is one of the ways that we can try and keep our community stronger and healthier, is by doing these things that we know make a difference.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Amador County Health Officer Dr. Rita Kerr this morning. Dr. Kerr, a couple of more questions. This one, I have to take care of my parents. If they contract COVID, can I still care for them?
If you need to care for them, absolutely you need to care for them, but you need to take whatever precautions you can, which would be wear a mask when you're in their vicinity, and they should wear a mask as well. If you have ability to wear, a pair of safety glasses or some eye protection or a face shield, that also can help if they were to cough or sneeze something out, you wouldn't want it getting in your eyes. Wear gloves if you have to do anything hands-on, and then take them off and wash your hands immediately afterwards. And do your best to provide them with their own area to stay in, if you have the capability, their own bathroom. If you don't, make sure you wipe all the surfaces of the bathroom down afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And, minimize the amount of time you have to be hands-on in the same room.
All right.
But that caregiver role is one of the higher risk roles, and we have seen a significant number of household contacts that have tested positive a week or two after their loved one who they live with gets, you know, a positive case.
So if your son or if your wife, daughter, or whatever contracts it, and they're at home under isolation, you don't have to necessarily leave the house. they can stay in their room and use their own bathroom, use their own utensils. That's what you're saying?
Yes. And we give all those instructions, and then the household contacts are considered under quarantine.
Okay. Dr. Kerr, what is the number of participants for gatherings at one time?
There is no gathering still allowed at this time.
Okay, still no gatherings.
Okay. You know, one thing that we talked about early on and we haven't talked about as much since, and, you know, people got so much information coming about COVID, and you could be like myself and easily forget stuff. We haven't talked about the contact surfaces in a while, as far as, you know, if you receive a package in the mail or if you go to the store and you touch a bag that maybe somebody touched. Can you give us more information as far as the...
The surfaces are, it's a possibility to transmit if you touch a surface that has virus on it and then touch your eyes, nose, or mouth with an unwashed hand. But that's really the minor way. It's really that person-to-person droplet transmission that we're most concerned about.
Okay.
The way to overcome the surfaces is just wash your hands more frequently.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Another question, Dr. Kerr. My family... Growing children, brothers and wife, we gather each week for family night. If we all come freshly showered, fresh clothing, masks, sanitized, even gloved if necessary, can we share hugs? We need hugs for health.
It's a risk behavior. I don't see any role for gloves in that. If you don't live in the same household, that is the sort of gathering that we will hear, well, somebody who was there tested positive the next day or 2 days later, and people can transmit the virus for a few days before they even test positive or even know they're sick.
All right.
If you're going to get together, please do it outdoors and keep your distance.
JD, do you have any more questions?
Can you say that one more time, Dr. Kerr, what you just said about transmitting it before you test positive?
People are considered infectious for the purposes of contact tracing, for 2 days before they started to have symptoms, 2 days before they tested positive if they have no symptoms.
Okay.
And so that pre-symptomatic or asymptomatic transmission is considered a risk, and that's why it's dangerous or risky to be doing things like giving each other hugs if you're not in the same household.
I have a friend whose father has been, is one of these cases, has it. He's been living in his apartment by himself, no contact with the outside. They go and take care of him, and they use all the right protocols. They did take him down to a doctor's appointment in the Valley, and he's tested positive, and they can't figure out where it came from. How fast does this attack you?
It can be anywhere between 2 and 14 days after a contact with the virus. It incubates and can be, you know, make itself known, either through a symptoms or a positive test.
But I mean, Dr. Kerr, how fast can this attack you? Like if someone sneezes and it hits your eye, you're going to get it? Is that?
It takes 2 to 14 days after you've been exposed in order for it to make enough copies of itself in your system to make you sick or to have you test positive.
Gotcha.
So it actually replicates itself in your system. Gotcha. All right.
You know, one other thing that a lot of people are kind of confused about and asking, and I asked you this, I believe it was off the air last time, and I just wanted to make sure, so when I tell people, I'm giving accurate info. I asked you about the long-term effects, and we're hearing stuff about heart and kidney issues and everything. And so were you telling me that some of that stuff is actually related to your body's immune response?
Yes. So the virus replicates itself and then causes an inflammatory response.
Mm-hmm.
And that inflammatory response has a role to try and overcome the virus. But it can also cause cellular damage to the organs of the body, including the heart. And that is why, for example, in the NBA, all the players who've tested positive have to undergo a heart test before they're allowed to return to play.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see. We got one other.
I do need to mention that one of the positive patients from the nursing home passed away last night.
Okay.
That is currently being investigated, what the circumstances were, whether it was related to the positive COVID or not. But it is at least a COVID-related death. And my sincere condolences to the family and the loved ones of this individual. I just wanted to not, I wanted to make sure I mentioned that this morning because we are aware of it as of this morning and are looking into the circumstances.
We've had calls on that already this morning. So, Dr. Kerr, one last question here, if possible.
Thanks for answering that, too.
It says, if our employer is willing, choosing to not have employees take precautions like mandating us wearing masks, can they be held liable for someone contracting it in the office and becoming seriously ill, okay, or dying? So what this question is, if our employer is willingly choosing to not have employees take precautions like mandating us wearing masks, can they be held liable for someone contracting it in the office and becoming seriously ill or die?
That would be an OSHA jurisdiction question, and that's where I would suggest that that sort of issue be raised to Cal OSHA.
All right. Dr. Kerr, thank you very much for giving us the time. We know you've got a busy morning and a busy afternoon. You'll be before the Amador School Board today at 2 o'clock, special board meeting. And thank you and the Health Department for everything that you do.
Very much.
You're very welcome. I also want to just mention one last thing in regards to the testing, and that is that the recommendation to retest someone who's been positive to clear them is no longer in force. In fact, the preferred strategy, with very few exceptions, is to use a time and symptom-based strategy to clear people. And this is also part of our being good stewards of our testing resources, but also because people can continue to shed non-viable virus particles for sometimes an extended period of time after an infection, but it does not mean they are contagious any longer. So using the time and symptom-based strategy is the official recommendation at this point, and retesting to clear someone to return to work is not the recommendation.
All right. Amador County Health Officer Dr. Rita Kerr, again, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right.